The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Welcome to the Message of Grace. Today we join the live midweek service of Grace Bible Church in Warren, Michigan. Because of our limited time in bringing this service to you, we must unfortunately edit some things out. But we invite you to attend any and all the services here at Grace Bible Church. Sunday school for all ages Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Sunday morning worship service begins at 11 a.m. and our midweek service on Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., where we meet for a time of singing, prayer, and Bible study. Let's join the congregation now in that blessed old hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Perhaps you want to sing along with us right there at home.
Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Come on, sing it out. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Okay, let's go to the throne of grace then. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. We stand before the throne of grace. A thankful people, our Father, for the redeeming work was accomplished in our behalf on Calvary, where the Lord Jesus gave His life, shedding His blood on that cross, that we might have life eternal and have the assurance of it, knowing that we have His righteousness. And we stand before Thee, accepted in the Beloved and complete in Him.
We are a needy people, and we serve a great God who hears and answers prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges God has afforded us. In it, we acknowledge our need of Him and our thankfulness to Him for all that He has done and promised us. By making known to God the Father our requests and casting upon Him all our cares, we receive the peace that passes all understanding. In a day of great stress and trouble as we live in, we dare not neglect such a wonderful opportunity as prayer. Let's rejoin the prayer of Elder Larry Bruchet, Sr., as he continues the prayer meeting portion of this service.
Now, our Father, we ask that you will guide and direct through the rest of this meeting. And our Father, as we stand on resurrected ground, we're so thankful that we know the Lord Jesus as He and what He is doing today. So bless us, we pray Thee, as we ask all things in the name and for the sake of our loving Savior, and that You use us each in our own personality to the glorifying of His name. Amen.
We are thankful to God for such a spiritual, talented song leader and minister of music as our brother Jim Wilshire, who now shares this message in song, He Touched Me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, crushed beneath my sin and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, well, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls, for He touched me. And now I know He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something wonderful happened, and now
also want to take the opportunity to welcome those that are on the Message of Grace viewers and who are joining with us today, which is a little bit different for us. We're thankful to have them tune in and be part of the study with us. Now we're studying Matthew chapter 14, and we're right at the end of the book, so if you'll find your place to Matthew chapter 14. In fact, we're going to continue right where we left off, and last week was kind of an abbreviated study, and we had to quickly go through some things about the time that Peter asked the Lord that if it's you, let me come out and meet you on the water. And the Lord came to them walking on the water, and Peter
got out of the boat and began to walk and began to sink as his eyes were taken off the Lord, and called on the Lord to save him, and the Lord did so. And the Lord rebuked him for having little faith, but the little faith was enough to save him. And so we studied that last week, but we also saw how the significance of that speaks about the nation of Israel and what they're going to be facing because the Lord Jesus Christ has already been rejected this far in our study of Matthew. And in his rejection, the believing remnant is going to suffer some tribulation. They're going to suffer trouble. And as the waves of the sea were troublesome, and Jesus came walking to them on the troubled waters, he came in the fourth hour of the watch, which is the last bit of darkness before the daylight, 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's typical of the nation of Israel going through the time of Jacob's trouble and waiting and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. It says in Hebrews 9:28, it says, "And unto them that look for him will he come the second time without sin unto salvation." And the first time he came to bear our sins, the second time he's coming as the sinless, glorified Son of God. And for those who look for him, he's coming to save them. And so he's coming to save the believing remnant of the nation of Israel, and that's what it's a picture of, as they're going through troublesome times, and he comes at the fourth watch to save them. Now, we studied that last time, but I wanted to bring it back to your attention because the verse that we concluded, now I know you're here in Matthew 14, but I want you to hold your place there, and I need you to come and look one more time, the book before the book of Matthew, which is the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and then the last chapter of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. If I look, have you look at this verse now, when we continue to finish out chapter 14, you'll see how relevant this verse is to Matthew chapter 14. And this as well speaks about tribulation time, that it's a prophecy concerning the nation of Israel who is going to go through a time of darkness before the Lord returns to them and establishes his long-promised kingdom to them. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." And it speaks about the nation of Israel entering into her blessing, into her kingdom, in her place of protection. And the last thing that Malachi talks about is a time of judgment that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. But to those that fear God, will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And that's typical of what we saw of Israel in the troubled sea, Israel among the midst of the nation through the judgment of God. And then here comes the Lord Jesus Christ coming to them as the Son, the fourth watch of the night. The Son is rising, and he's the Son of Righteousness coming to them. And the other thing that says is that he comes with healing in his wings. And that's what we're going to see at the end of chapter 14, is the healing that takes place after he appears as the Son of Righteousness. Now, before he does that, one of the things that we left out last week that I believe to be a gem is if we go back up, and I think I heard some people saying amen, up to verse 27. It says, this is they're rowing in the sea and they can't get anywhere. And then the Lord comes to them and they think it's a spirit, and they cry out of fear. And in Matthew 14, verse 27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And I believe Mike Berry last time, I read that verse twice last week, and I remember both times an amen coming out of him. And that verse does bring an amen out of you in the sense that here they're troubled, but he says, "It is I, be not afraid." In fact, before he said, "It is I," he says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And I looked that phrase up, and I found out the Lord repeated that phrase three times in his ministry, "Be of good cheer." And I thought it, boy, real blessing to look at. Two of them are here in Matthew, so just go back to Matthew chapter 9, the first time he used it. You'll find it four places in the gospel record, but Mark and Matthew are the same, and so it's really three different times in his ministry he said that. The first is Matthew chapter 9 in verse 2. And this is where they brought him the man sick of the palsy. Matthew 9, 2 says, "And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And notice what the "be of good cheer" is centered around. The man is going to get his healing, but the "be of good cheer" is "thy sins be forgiven thee." And the first time the Lord spoke about "be of good cheer," it's because of the forgiveness of sins. And I would say the thing that ought to cheer you more and bring more joy in your life is to realize that there is an answer for your sin problem before God, and that your sins can be forgiven. We know now it's through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe above all and foremost, we ought to be of good cheer because our sins are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then back in Matthew chapter 14, where we just read, I'll just read it again, is the second time he says it. And this matches Mark chapter 6, verse 50. But Matthew 14 in verse 27 says, "But straightway Jesus came unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And here the "be of good cheer" is realizing the Lord's presence with you in troublesome times. You might be going through some real troublesome times, real scary times in your life, and that's what it says. They were in fear and they were afraid. But he says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." His presence with us. And we who live in the age of grace have the presence of God with us, because the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and had our sins forgiven, we're indwelt by His Holy Spirit, and He never leaves us. He's with us until the day of redemption. And even to the tribulation believer, the Bible tells them, how does it say that in Hebrews? I'm thinking Matthew says, "Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age." But Hebrews says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And so they can be of good cheer because of the Lord's presence with them. Then one other time, if you come over with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 16. And this is the chapter that he talks about him leaving and the Holy Spirit is going to come. The reason he's going to leave is he's going to be crucified. He's going to be dead for 3 days. He's going to rise from the dead. He's going to ascend back into heaven. He's going to leave them. But he tells them that the Holy Spirit is going to come. Another comfort is going to come who's going to guide him into all truth. But at the end of the chapter, he says in verse 33 of John 16, "These things I speak unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And it's the victory of the, this is stated in the shadow of the victory of the cross. In light of the cross, he says, you're going to have tribulation in the world, and that's what's waiting for the believing remnant, a tribulation period, a time of great trouble, a time of Jacob's trouble. But he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so here the answer is looking for the hope of what Jesus Christ has accomplished through his death, is that yes, while we're here through the world, there's going to be tribulation, but when it's all over, he's already overcome, they're going to overcome, they're going to enter into their blessed rest, and it's going to be glorious. They're going to have a glorious eternity. And with that hope in mind, no matter what you're going through, look at the hope and then realize, be of good cheer. And so you're of good cheer because your sins are forgiven. You can be of good cheer because the Lord is with you. And you can be of good cheer because you've got a glorious future waiting for you no matter what you're facing right now. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says those things to them concerning being of good cheer. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. And by the way, on your own, perhaps you'd like to just look up some verses where the Apostle Paul said four times about being of good cheer. In fact, it was said to him in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, when he was beaten and put in a prison cell, the Lord appeared unto him and said, be of good cheer. The Lord's presence was with the Apostle Paul as he was beaten. And then you might remember Acts chapter 27 is where the great shipwreck took place, and the Apostle Paul, as a prisoner being led to Rome, suffered shipwreck, and it was just days and days long where they went without food. But an angel of the Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul and said, be of good cheer, that all are going to survive. And the Apostle Paul stands up and tells the men at the ship, be of good cheer. And then finally convinces them to eat. And after they had eaten and after they had given thanks, the Bible said, they were of good cheer. And so they ate and they gave thanks to the Lord for providing for them, and it eased their heart and they were a good cheer. And so Paul understands about the comforts of the Lord, and he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, the title that he gives to our Lord is the God of all comfort. And so no matter what you face in life, you can be of good cheer. Now Matthew chapter 14 and verse 34, we're going back to the thought about the Son of Righteousness. Christ came to them, and soon as he came to them, the ship was brought to the shore and they were at rest. Now when it says they were brought to the shore, it's going to go on to tell us in Matthew 14 where they were brought to. Verse 34, it says, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." So he comes to this place called the Gennesarets, and when he gets there, everyone lets him know, broadcast the fact that Jesus Christ is in their midst, and they bring all that's diseased, and the only thing they desired is they just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, knowing that if they touched that, they would be made whole, and sure enough, they were made perfectly whole. An absolute, total healing took place, as this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of this pictures, as he stepped into the ship and they entered on shore, they entered into rest. They were out of the troubled sea. The seas didn't bother them anymore, and they came to the shore, and now they're at rest, and here's the Son of Righteousness coming to the nation of Israel, and what does he have? Healing in his wings. When they reach the safe shore of the millennium, the nation of Israel, then they will receive both spiritual and physical healing. The Lord Jesus Christ will minister to them the new covenant, and the new covenant will put his laws in their hearts and cause them to walk in his ways, and then he'll give them the promises of the blessings that he promised to the nation of Israel concerning their land and concerning their prosperity, concerning physical healing, concerning everlasting life. As when he comes back in his second coming, they will be brought to their place of promise, and all that he promised them will come true. And you see that picture there, the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wings. Now, when I look at this, I look at this and I wonder how it is that these people would even think that if I touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And as I thought about that, I wondered how they knew that and what would cause them to think that. And so I done some looking in some scriptures, and I found a couple answers to that question. First of all, I think probably we need to find out where the city's at. The Gennesaret usually isn't located on a map, but what it is they left the area of Nazareth, and then they came to the wilderness of Galilee where the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Then the Lord went up into a mountain, and they were to go into a ship, and it says, I think it says in Mark, that they were to go to Bethany. And then John, and I might have those two mixed up, said they went toward Capernaum. So you realize they're going to the western edge of the northwestern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Well, when you finally can locate the Gennesarets, what that is, it's a city, just the first city south of Capernaum. So that's the area they're at. And you say, okay, well, so what? Why does the location mean anything? Well, I think it does mean something, and we can figure out why it means something. If you remember, Capernaum is the city where we first met Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He was a tax collector in the city of Capernaum, and Christ told him to come follow him. And in that chapter, we learn some other things. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 9. This is where we first saw the Lord's ministry in Capernaum. The first city south of that is the Gennesarets, where the Lord has now just come, and people heard that he was there. They all came flocking to him and only wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, you look at verse 9, and there you have Matthew, who's being called. And this is where they're at. They're in the city of Capernaum. But notice this, what the ministry takes place. We've already studied this, so I won't go through it, but Matthew is called in verse 9, and then how the Lord came to save sinners is down in verses 10 through 15. Now notice the next thing that takes place after that. The Lord is called to a ruler's house, but while he's going to the ruler's house, we read this in verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And you'll recall what happens to this woman. She's healed. Now, where does all this take place? Well, that's why I told you geographically that this all took place in Capernaum. The Genesarts is just south, the first city south of Capernaum. When the Lord showed up, they went to all the region round about and said, "The Lord is here." And apparently these people had known the testimony of this woman who touched the hem of his garment and were healed. Now he's back in their land, and his fame is spread throughout that land, and now they're coming just to touch the hem of his garment that they might be healed. And so this lady spread the news about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for her. Now, we don't live in the age of healing today. We live in an age in which the message today is not the kingdom, but it's the cross. And the Lord has done something to you that above all things you ought to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was raised for your justification. Now, if he said that to a man who was paraplegic and said to that man that better than having your physical, your body healed, the best thing that you could be of cheer about is that your sins are forgiven, we have the greater blessing. The greater blessing is not touching the hem of his garment and having an issue of blood healed in us. We have the greatest thing. We have our sins forgiven that we might have eternal life. And we can be of good cheer about that. But the reason I say all this, if that lady in that town shared that message with all those people that the next time the Lord Jesus showed up, they're there waiting to get the blessing from him, then what should you and I do with the message that we have about our forgiveness of sins?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.